man and slash woman, and I want you to know, beloved, as I saw this individual, for some reason or another, I can't fully describe it, but I felt pity. I absolutely felt pity. I thought, oh my Lord, what in the world is going on in this man's mind or this woman's mind? Now, woman. And all of a sudden, I had a change of heart. Y'all look at me here. I had a change of heart. And some of us need to have a change of heart. We need compassion for the lost. And we've lost that compassion. If we're not careful, you know what we do? We become critical toward the lost. We become judgmental to the point that we lose our passion to reach out. I want to ask you a question. Katie, bring that up on the screen, please. That God wants us to build a bridge between us and people. Please bring that up on the screen, the bridge, that number one on the, thank you. Here is a bridge. I found people are building this to get to the other side. There are people on the other side. And I believe today that God has got you and me in this community. We are in this church. We are in this world. Why? To build a bridge to people. How many know somebody today that's lost and not saved and needs Jesus? Do you know somebody? If you don't know anybody, I want to encourage you to get to the altar and cry until your tears become reality. You find somebody you need to pray for, and I need to pray. Are you building a bridge? This is the message God put on my heart about this man who had turned into a woman. Hey, guess what happened? Not last Friday night, but the Friday night a week ago, I had the privilege of going down to Monticello High School and sharing the gospel with, guess who? The football team and the coaches and the staff. Isn't that glorious? I don't know about you, but my soul, what a door of opportunity. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. It doesn't matter if it's a public school, a private school, the White House, the courthouse, the schoolhouse, our house. Church house, the gospel needs to be declared from the rooftop in the neighborhood every time we need the opportunity, and may God help us share the gospel. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, look, are you building a bridge to somebody you know? Have you got somebody in your heart that needs forgiveness of their sin and needs a personal relationship with God? Don't just sit back and be satisfied and be keep it to yourself. Let me tell you the end of the story. I was there at the high school, and you know what? They said, not yet, Pastor. You don't get quite right yet now the time to share with the football team. Oh, I said, praise God. I'm at the high school. They hadn't let out a class yet. I'm thinking, my, wouldn't this be a great opportunity to go and meet Mrs. Davis? Woo! I'm telling you, I went down the hall. Now, how many know you can't just go wandering in a high school nowadays? Anyway, I went down the hall, and I only had a minute because they were getting ready. I just made my way down the hall. I said, Lord, if it's your will, it's not planned. I know I just got a minute, but I walked down the hall, and then I found a student, and the student said, there is her room right there. I said, okay, and I went and looked in the room. Nobody was in the room. I said, oh, my. Maybe not. It wasn't the right time. And I walked across the hall and talked with another teacher that I happened to know, a teacher at Jasper County High School. And then time started slipping up on me. And I walked down the hall, and a student said, she's in there. I said, here's my opportunity. And I looked in the room, and there was Mrs. Davis sitting down at the desk with another teacher and a student who was working on a computer. I said, Lord, it's now or never. And so I just saw the open door. I only had a minute. Unprepared. Instant, in season, out of season. I'm not saying always seize the opportunity. This case, however, God opened the door. And when God opens the door, we can walk through it. I need somebody to help me today. Are y'all awake? Are you alive? Are you been saved? Aren't you concerned about the loss? Hey, watch. And I walked to the door, and there was Miss Davis, and I was praying, Lord, what you had me to say. 6 months ago, I'm going to tell you what I done 6 months ago, all right? Anyway, I saw Mrs. Davis, and another teacher was sitting beside her. Anyway, she's got long hair, and she's sitting down in the chair, and I got right in her face. I held out my hand. I said, hey, My name is Pastor Randy Reese over at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. And immediately she started looking like this, said, oh, I guess you've heard all of these stories. And I looked and I said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. That's what the Lord put on my heart. And all of a sudden, she looked right at me, eyes contact. I said, I'm praying for you. And the other teacher was sitting right there, the student was sitting right there. And I said, God be my witness. I want to share more, but my time was so limited. I said something along this line, the Lord loves you, forgives us, and anything I can do to help, I'll be glad to. And I walked out of the room. I said, hallelujah, Lord. I've done what you told me to do. I'm believing, watch, I'm believing somehow, some way, God may build a bridge to give me another opportunity to share the good news with Ms. Davis. Don't you rejoice with me over that? Hey, don't you believe Jesus died for Mrs. Davis too? Come on, talk to me. Oh, yeah, Mrs. Davis. And the love of Calvary is what gets us motivated to the people that are out there that are not in the family of God. Wait a minute. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. I want to preach for just a few minutes on the subject, crossing the bridge. Crossing the bridge. Bring that next picture, please. Jesus crossed the bridge. Hello. Jesus crossed the bridge. Aren't you glad he did? Look at this. Here is hellfire. Here is where we're at. And all of a sudden, Jesus bridged the gap. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Crossing the bridge. The love of Christ constraineth us. If we get in the church and we get a bad attitude and we get a self-righteous attitude and we start getting critical toward everybody and anything and we start thinking more highly of ourselves than what to think, I'm telling you, that is not pleasing to the Lord. God, give us compassion. God, give us a heart for the lost. God, help us to remember where we were and where God has brought us to today. It's all because of his grace. It's all for his grace. And we have nothing to glory about except for in the cross. Except for the cross. I'd be just like Miss Davis. You would too had the Lord not have snatched you out of and me out of hell and brought us into his marvelous light. But it's God's love. Speaking of love, I heard about an older man that had a lot of money and he married a younger woman. She suspected that he married her, and he did. He suspected she married him because of his money. She asked him one time, she said, he finally figured it out. He said, I'm going to ask her if she married me for my money. So he popped the question. He said, if something was to happen, if I lost all my money, would you still love me? She said, of course I would love you, and I'd miss you terribly. Thank God it's not about that kind of love. It's unconditional love. But wait a minute. I want to ask a couple of questions. There are some challenging questions, challenges that everybody ought to know about crossing the bridge. First question is this: have you crossed that bridge? Have you crossed that bridge from eternal death to eternal life? Have you crossed that bridge? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you crossed that bridge? I want to remind you, beloved, that bridge, the bridge that Jesus built. Do you realize, my dear friend, today, of that bridge? I wish I had time. My time is probably not going to permit me to share with you all that was on my heart, but I'll simply say this. Jesus had to die outside the camp. We find that in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11 12, 13, Jesus had to die outside the camp. I want you to think for a moment about this scene. Bring that next scene, please, up on the screen. It's a scene of what's called the red heifer. Are you familiar with this? I found this in Israel, this particular poster, as well as this site. The Temple Institute constructed this. Can you see that? Oh, brother, it opens up a whole lot of doors. Are you familiar with the red heifer? It's described in Numbers chapter 19. Moses had specific instructions for the people of God to have a sacrifice, an offering called the red heifer. And if you'll notice, now I don't know if you can see it or not. You're going to have to look close. There's a bridge. You see that bridge? Crossing the bridge. And do you know what's on the other side of that bridge? It's the temple. It's the place where the people of God worship the Lord. In this case, it was probably the temple, or you could have Solomon's temple. In Jesus' day, there was a temple, namely Herod's temple. We've talked about that, building 4 to 6 years. And this temple has a bridge. You know what's right down there? It's called the Kidron Valley. But oh, wait a minute. That bridge extends all the way over to here. It was described, it was specified in the Old Testament that the people of God were to build an altar on this particular place outside the camp, a certain distance from which they worship the Lord. Here is the red heifer, and God told the people of God, depicted in this picture and that picture, that the red heifer was to be burned completely with cedar wood, with, notice, in the hand of this priest, that is hyssop, that is a branch, and this cedar wood with the hyssop, along with, you probably can't see it from where you're at, there is a scarlet ribbon. The Lord told the people of God, this is how they're to offer this red heifer. There have only been 9 red heifers in the history of Israel. Presently, a man by the name of Chaim Richman, who is second in charge of the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, in Israel, and the foremost authority on the red heifer, I heard him say, and we've shown excerpts of tapes where they are presently, as we speak today, are attempting to raise up a red heifer. Now you need to understand that 3 hairs on this red heifer cannot be differentiated. That red heifer, the nose, the hooves, the total red heifer has to be exactly, precisely, just like God said, without any yoke on its back. It all portrays to Jesus the sacrifice and the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus. But the people were to burn this red heifer, and guess what were they to do? They were to take the ashes of that red heifer, and they were to mix that along with the cedar wood after burning it, the hyssop and the scarlet, to take running water. You can see all of the requirements in the Word of God, and they were to mix it with running water, and they were to apply it for the purpose of the purification of God's people. Now, in Israel right now, as of June, they started a new farm. It's over in the Negev desert, which is down below Jerusalem, for the purpose of raising another red heifer. There are preparations right now. I'm just going to say this and move on. For the rebuilding of the temple right as we speak. But wait a minute. There is a significance about this red heifer. There is an important principle. Jesus had to die. Watch. Outside the camp. Outside the camp. Outside the camp. You can read it from the book of Hebrews chapter 13 again. And you know what, beloved? I personally believe as where our Lord died was not necessarily at the traditional site of Gordon Calvary. Rather, there's good indication Jesus died right here and somewhere in the location up in this area. Let me share with you why. One, this place is called the Mount of Olives. It goes across the Kidron Valley. It comes up this particular Mount of Olives. Why the Mount of Olives? Why do you believe, Pastor, that that's where he was crucified? Well, the sacrifice that the red heifer offered, obviously, sign that a criminal, watch, and I don't have time to go into the Mishnah and the Jewish customs, but during the time of our Lord, all indication, he was convicted of a crime, blasphemy, and treason, and thus he was crucified for my sins and your sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. But wait a minute, how do I know this was, why do I believe this was the place of our Lord being taken my sins in his body when he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? Here's why. Number one, a Jew and the Jewish custom was to, again, not crucify the criminal within the gate, but rather outside the gate. And you can do the homework on it, the research on it, to find out what you believe to be the location. But number two, do you know the Roman law? Do you know the Roman law often, and all of this stuff is documented what I'm sharing with you. The Roman law said a criminal, watch, often was executed. Are you ready for this? At the point of where they were arrested. Really? Yep. Really? Oh yeah. Well, where was Jesus arrested? In Luke chapter 22, the Word of God says, after he left from the Last Supper, the table, he made his way out to the Mount of Olives. Read it. It's right there, black and white. He made his way where? To the Mount of Olives. He made his way where at the Mount of Olives? The garden. The garden of what? The Garden of Gethsemane. Guess where the Garden of Gethsemane is? It's on the Mount of Olives. Guess where Jesus was arrested? In the garden. I want to tell you something real quick. This will blow your socks off. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. He's praying. And you know what the Lord said to the disciples? He said, before they went to the garden, get your sword. You ever read that? You believe Jesus? Wait a minute, I'm fixing to say something. Jesus believed in the right to bear arms. I'm telling you, y'all don't believe me. All right, I'm glad. Turn over in the book of Luke, chapter 22. If you didn't see it, you wouldn't believe it. You'd say, Pastor, I don't know if you're telling me the truth. Well, because I want you to see it, all right? Look over in chapter number 22 and verse number 35. This is not a political speech. This is the Word of God, folks. And I want you to know this is very significant. As Jesus is being arrested in the garden, they come, Judas and those police and the religious leaders, they arrested him where? In the Garden of Gethsemane. Where was that at? On the Mount of Olives. The Roman law generally had a criminal to be executed at the point of their arrest. Case closed. I believe, whether you believe it or not, that's not the issue. But in Luke chapter 22, when the Lord shows me things I like to share with you, I'm not dogmatic on it, but I am dogmatic in my own heart about it. Hey, but look, verse 35 of Luke 22, if you're there, say amen. And he said unto them, the disciples, when I sent you, by the way, this is after they had observed the Lord's Supper. It's after they sat down in Luke chapter 22 in the context of Scripture. And then in Luke chapter 22, verse 35, he knows he's fixing to be arrested. And look what he says. He says, and he said unto them, when I was sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then he said unto them, verse 36, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment, and what? Buy a sword. Y'all see that in your Bible? If you see it in that Bible, hold your Bible up. He said, go buy a sword. Really? I've never read that, and it dawned on me like that. Look at verse 37. For I say unto you that this is written, must you be accomplished in me? And he was reckoned among the transgressors for the things concerning me having in him. Look at verse 38. Verse 38. And he... they said, Lord, behold, here are, help me out, somebody, two swords. Not one, but two. Look what Jesus said. Did he say, put them away? Don't take them? No. Look what he said. He said unto them, it is enough. Say it with me. It is enough. Say it again. It is enough. I can only speculate the reason. swords were there in the garden. There is the evidence. The man's committed treason, blasphemy. Here's the evidence. There's weapons. Can y'all hear me? I move on. You take that and run with it any way you want to. The point is this. Jesus died on a cross for me and for you. He tasted death for every man. Oh, bless His holy name. It was not just the sacrifice in a physical sense that makes His sacrifice so unique. Rather, it was His spiritual separation from the Father that makes this mind-boggling. The Father and the Son, such oneness from eternity past to eternity future. And yet when Jesus was willing to pay our sin debt in full, as He came looking for me, as He came looking for you, it was He that was willing to be obedient unto death, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, even the death of the cross. And so He was willing to suffer and die and lay down His life for me. No man takes my life, I have the power to lay it down and raise it up again, said the Lord. But that was His ultimate mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. I talked with a man last week who told me, Pastor, when you die, that's it. You just die. That's it. I said, really? He said, yeah. When you die, that's it. I said, what if you're wrong? That's not it after you die. Either Jesus is right or you're right. Jesus is always right. Jesus said, when you die, either you go to heaven or you go to hell. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord said there was a rich man who, he didn't go to hell because he had not time for God. He rejected Jesus, and the rich man died and was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and cried, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Then he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled up my tongue. The place I'm in is torment, eternal torment, physical torment, emotional torment, and spiritual torment in that place. But wait a minute. After you die, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. How many believe that the psalmist said in Psalm 116 and verse 15, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. Well, I'm sorry, that's Revelation 14:13. Blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. They cease their labors and their works do follow them. Psalm 116 verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Job said in Job 14:14, if a man dies, will he live again? Job answered that in Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand on the earth in the latter day. After my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Have you crossed this bridge? Have you crossed this bridge? Are you going across this bridge? Have you thanked God for giving you the grace to cross this bridge? I talked with two people yesterday. Get this, a lady's going to turn 100 years old November the 6th. 100 years old! And another lady, her sister's already 98 years old. We sat down in their living room. You know what we talked about? Their funeral. They wanted me to have a part in their funeral. They don't have a pastor, they're neighbors, and I've known them for a while. Pray for Ruby, pray for Lily. And they said, Pastor, we're ready to go. We got our house in order, but we want you to have a part in our homegoing service. I said, whatever I can do to help, I'll be glad to. There's nothing wrong with getting your house in order. If the Lord wills, none of us a promise of tomorrow. We got to be ready. Oh, be ready. You also think the hour the Son of Man not the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Be also ready. And so, I want to ask you a question. You want to take other people with you? Bring that picture back again about Jesus and bridging the gap. How many want to take somebody with you to heaven? How many want to take somebody with you? You can just get them. Hey, come on, follow me. I can't take you to heaven, but I can show you how to get to heaven. Heaven? Yes. Will you tell them? Will you point them? Will you take them? I want to tell you something. I've got to close. One. The first challenge everybody ought to need to know about crossing the bridge is Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. Hallelujah. Number two, I want to say something pointedly, bluntly. Since you've crossed that bridge, since you're on the bridge, I'm on the bridge. We're not in heaven yet, but thank God we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And since we're on that bridge, has it cost you anything? Does your Christianity cost you anything? A Christianity doesn't cost nothing, it's worth nothing. You can't pay for it, don't misunderstand. But I want you to know the days are here, the days are now, that we as God's people are going to face more and more attacks and criticisms and martyrdom in America. Y'all believe it? We're in a little bubble. We think we're isolated. Oh, we're in America. It never happened. Really? Well, tell me what happened in Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon, last week. Tell me what happened when that 26-year-old man, Chris Mercer, walked in the school. Four handguns. You heard the report like I heard the report. Began shooting people randomly. They never thought that would ever happen, probably in that little community town. Has your Christianity cost you anything? Wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. According to the report, witnesses, the shooter, Chris Mercer, 26 years old, ejected from the army, in all indication, a loner, was plotting and planning this for quite some time. We don't never know who's in our community, who needs Jesus, who we need to bring to Jesus. But nonetheless, according to the report, he said to those people, lay down on the floor. And then according to the report, to witnesses in the room, he said, are you a Christian? Stand up and tell me if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, he shot him right in the head and killed him right on the spot. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? He point blank shot him in the head because they were Christian. What does your Christianity cost you? You know what he said? If they didn't say it was a Christian, he shot him in the leg. What would you say? What would I say if a gun's pointed right to me? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Last time I read it, it was absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're not going to get our reward here alone. It's going to cost you something to be a Christian. And if your Christianity don't cost you anything, your Christianity is worth nothing. Nothing. And it's time we, the people of God, get some backbone in this world. Let them destroy the body. They can't destroy the soul. I'm telling you, the worst thing that could ever happen is somebody would kill us and we could go to heaven. That's the worst thing. That don't sound too bad. Unless you love your life more here than you do under hereafter. Oh, our outer man's perishing, but our inner man's being renewed day by day. Yeah, the light affliction was but for a moment, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We look not at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but the things which are unseen, which are eternal. Folks, we got to get our focus right, our heart right, our passion right, our vision right, because persecution is going to intensify in our country and in our neighborhood and in our families. Don't you believe that? We're there already. How many got somebody on your heart? I got to close right now. I told Mr. Larry we're going to pray for him. Crossing the bridge. Have you made that decision? I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, yeah, 1982. That was the defining moment in my heart. That was when Jesus changed my heart. I have not been the same since. Telling you, heaven's a wonderful place. It's a place where there's no more sin and no more sickness and no more sorrow. How many got somebody on your heart today, like Mrs. Davis, that you want to pray for? And your goal is to point them to get to heaven. How many got somebody? Let's stand.